page as family. Please help Dave and his family. I don't know exactly how it's going to work tonight, but help him lead us. Help it to be a fun time, a memorable time, and a spiritual time. We love you, God, and we thank you so much just for the work that you've been doing in our families. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. That's a bright light. Hello. How's everybody?
Good.
It's great to be in Cape Town. And I brought my bodyguard. Where is he?
He left.
Heskin. Where's Heskin?
He went on a date.
He did not. That's just wrong. Man, okay. He just showed up just to kind of make an appearance. All right. I'm really excited about this weekend. The whole weekend we've kind of themed the real Christian. And tonight we're going to talk about the real spiritual home. The greatest challenge to our influence is Christian hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is what turns people away from Christ, isn't it?
Yeah.
And actually in our homes, it's what can turn our kids away from Christ, is if they see hypocrisy in us. Not that that happens here in Cape Town, but that could possibly be what would turn our kids away. So the whole theme of the weekend is, how do we really live this life in a way that inspires the world? Now, I want to start with a video. We're going to do a lot of video stuff tonight. And we're actually going to split up and do a little exercise, teens against parents, tonight. We're going to have a little competition and see who understands each other the most. But I have to show you this video. There was a conference that just happened 2 weeks ago in Boston. And it was teenagers planned a conference for teenagers. They did all the planning, all the teaching, all the preaching. And this is the video of what just happened. So kind of great news hot off the press from Teen Ministry in the U.S. I thought I'd share this to get a vision of what we're going to be able to do in a few years in South Africa. Amen?
Amen.
It was amazing. I think it was amazing. It was amazing.
Unbelievable. It was really great. I thought it was excellent.
It was really encouraging.
Awesome. It was amazing, actually. Just finished our all New England, New Jersey, New York Teen Conference. It was amazing to see. It started back in January. The teenagers had a planning time. They planned the speeches. They planned all the worship. They planned the theme. And they even came up with the title, Now is the Time. Teens doing great things for God during their teen years. Our first day of the program on Saturday, we had 400 teenagers there. Teens taught the teens about evangelism, about purity, about intimacy with God. The teens were really moved by each other's messages, and they came up and came forward and said, we want to make changes today. On Sunday, we had our worship service where the whole auditorium was filled, and we had an overflow room with over 200 people. There were 800 people at the worship service. Mike Hidalgo and David Hines did the keynote message. Mike Hidalgo talked about stepping up and standing up to peer pressure and live for God no matter what our friends say. Don't live to be accepted, but live for God and go with God. David Hines talked about to get up and go for teenagers to lead their own Bible talks. And if you're not going to lead one, to join one, talk to your friends, bring them to the Bible talk, talk to them about God, and let's win our schools for Jesus. It was amazing. We ended the whole conference with the song, Men Who Dream. These teens in this generation are not just dreamers, they're doers. To God be the glory.
I'm 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21, 21,
Isn't that cool? We want to do that in a few years here in Southern Africa. That party is what we're going to be doing tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
See what kind of groove you guys have. Okay, very good. Now, just so one of the things we're trying to build as we've come here is to try to build a bigger connection across Southern Africa with our teens. And we are going to start introducing a number of events across Southern Africa where we can be together as teenagers. I say we, but I'm actually not a teenager. But where we get the teenagers together, the first big thing we're going to be doing is called Summer Blast. And I want to tell you a little bit about Summer Blast. It's actually coming up here in December. And the initial registration actually starts this coming week on November 1st. But Summer Blast is going to be a two-day event at the Joburg Church Building. It's going to be 32 hours of mayhem. We're going to start on the 13th, Monday the 13th at 9 a.m. is when all the parents will need to have the kids there. And we've got keynote messages. We're going to break everybody into teams. We have team activities, discussion groups, sports. We have all different kinds of things planned. Lots of great food. That was one of the big requests of the teens in Joburg. Want lots of great food. We're going to have a Starlight Devotional that night. We're going to have a big dance party with all the teens together. We might sleep a little bit. We haven't figured that one out. And then the next day we'll have another full day of spiritual activities, and it'll go until Tuesday at 5 p.m. So it opens, registration opens on the 1st of November, and it closes on the 30th of November. And we're going to be hard line about that, because on December 1st, we're putting in all of the orders for t-shirts and booklets, and this is going to be like a two-day teen spiritual conference. So I really want to encourage you guys who can to come. It's going to be 300 rand a person. That's pretty much the cost it's going to cover per person to feed you well and to get a t-shirt and a booklet. And so that's kind of the plan. We put 32 hours of the 5 F's, fun, friends, faith, food, and family. So not that parents aren't invited, by the way, but we're going to build family with the teens. So we got our theme kind of picked out as far as what it's going to feel like. The idea is I choose. And the whole theme is that as teenagers growing up in the church, that we have to choose the faith for ourselves. This is not our parents' faith, but it's our choice what we want to do with God spiritually. And so we're kind of playing around with some different colors with where it's going to end up. We haven't landed on the shirt color size yet, or the color, but I choose will be the theme for the weekend. So any questions about that?
Where is it again?
It's in Joburg. It'll be at the church building at 9 o'clock on December 13th. We're expecting anywhere between 100 and 150 teenagers. It will be from grade 7 to grade 12. And you'll all come, and we'll come and do this all together, but we're going to divide all the teams up by age so that they'll be with kids that are their own ages. Yes, sir?
Why didn't you make it longer?
Why didn't we do it longer? That's a great question. Look, I'm a big believer on momentum. If we started something off and we kind of announced it, we only got here 6 months ago, and we're trying to get some momentum built. We didn't have time to step in and do a full week-long camp. And we want what we do to be excellent. So the idea is you're going to come to these 2 days and have the time of your life and want to come back for more. And then the following year, we actually are planning a full week-long camp. But instead of doing it in December, before the holidays, so we all go away and we get spiritually fed and then we go home for Christmas and forget all our convictions, we're actually going to do the camp in January right before school starts, so we get a great spiritual start to the year. So that's already on the calendar for January 2012. We are going to do a week-long camp next year, but we had to start with something that we could handle before we jumped into a full week. Okay?
Good.
Great. Any other questions? Okay. You ready to compete?
So what about accommodation?
For
the teens.
They will be locked on that premises for 32 hours. So what will happen is we're asking all the kids to come showered and with deodorant on. Because for 32 hours, you will not be showering. And what will happen is that event will go from 9 in the morning, probably till about 12, 1 o'clock at night. We will sleep for a couple hours. We're going to have the boys all in one building, the girls all in the other building, sleeping bags. And then we'll get them up in about 7 hours. After 7 hours of sleep or so, we'll have quiet times and kick off the day. And that'll be it. Then they'll go get picked up the next day. So we're roughing it.
That's pretty cool.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Just for the kids, if they have to travel from here to leave, obviously they'll probably have to stay over. So is the church going to book them up with them?
Absolutely, we can work that out. Yeah, for those of you that are going to be traveling in, if you want to come in, obviously Sunday, and you need accommodation Sunday night so that you can be there first thing Monday morning, we will help take care of that. So we just kind of are going to need to know how many families we're talking about, how many kids, and we'll make that work. Absolutely. Okay? Any questions about that? Any other questions? Okay. Now, I need to give you some very specific instructions. We're going to have a competition, teens and parents. We're going to see how well you know each other. We're going to ask the teens to step outside, and they're going to have to work quietly right out here on the porch. Or you can actually, I don't know what's better, for them to go to the back or to go to the porch. Is there a preference?
To the back.
To the back. Okay. Now, I need someone, teens, tell me quick, who could kind of lead your teen group? Alright. Street Fighter. Remind me of your name.
Ronaldo.
Okay, Ronaldo, you're in charge. Okay. Listen closely. Here's your instruction, and you're going to get 5 minutes to complete it. And you need to take all the teams. You're going to need a piece of paper, and you're going to have to come up with this and come back. I need you guys to determine, as teenagers, what are the top five challenges of being a teenager today? What are the top five things that you struggle with being teenagers today? Okay? Go. Back in 5 minutes.
All right, you're in charge. I wanted to tell you, too, I see you, people drop the...
Okay, parents, I need you to quickly elect someone to represent you.
Greg, John, Greg.
Greg's the first name I heard. You mean George?
John, no,
Greg, where's Greg?
He's got
okay, Greg, come forward. Greg, I need you to get from the parents, and I'm not involved, but we got to figure out what are the top five challenges that we feel as teenage parents raising teenagers today. Okay? You're welcome to figure. You need to have a list written, five, your top five. You have 5 minutes. Go.
Nice.
Top five challenges of raising teenagers.
It's our problem.
Yes. What do you feel like your challenges are as parents? What are your top five challenges of raising teenagers today?
I have one here. Communication.
Yeah.
In that, it doesn't happen. Well, then it's difficult. Difficult. Is everybody happy with that?
Yes.
Communication is difficult. Okay, do we have a number two?
Mood swings?
As parents? Or their mood swings or ours? Theirs. So what would you say that's emotions or emotional? Uncontrolled emotions. Is that it? Is that it in the film? Okay. We just make a note.
You can't ask your wife this.
Oh, John!
Your hand
was
up first anyway.
So then, guys, I just want to write it.
It's right to
come. So, just to clarify, unidentified or what? Is it the emotions that we can't understand? Is that the idea?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, what was the other one?
I think it was the first.
knowing the boundary, I mean, in between, you know, whether you're being too tough with your child, you know, or allowing you, the boundary between what you can allow or not allow, you know, like, because now before, I mean, like, the music, boom, 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 I'll be like, what's that?
Too strict or too lenient?
Yes, too strict or too lenient.
Okay, the balance, the balance.
Yeah, the balance.
Is everybody happy with that? It's been the number three?
Yeah. Okay.
I'll be with you in 1 second. Let me just write down this quickly. So that's the boundaries, really, isn't it? So it's boundaries. Shall we just put their boundaries?
Yeah.
We understand the concept. Yeah.
Humility.
Ours or theirs?
Ours.
Ours. Okay. Yeah.
Our humility. In what context?
Well, I think that as parents, I think we can find it really challenging. Be humble around our teens,
yes.
Because I think oftentimes our perception is they need to come to the table, they need to apologize.
Good point. Anything? Is everybody in agreement with that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So number four is our humility. Okay, number five.
I think for me it's effectively using the time that I have with my kids. I mean, we're all very busy.
Okay.
I think
so would it be making enough time,
yeah,
or effectively using the little time that we have?
I think that's what we do with the time.
Yes,
we have.
I think so too. I think we are, me too.
So let's clarify that. So it's, we have enough time, we just don't know how to use it properly.
I think we've got a little time, but I think sometimes we don't use the time we have.
Okay, so effectively using the time that we have.
Yes, yes.
That's it, guys, that's fine. Does anybody have another one that we could maybe shake it up with?
I think to add to what is connecting with them. How to connect with them on their level.
Are you guys?
With
communication, there we go. So talking the same language. Okay.
And Greg, I think with humility goes our own sin. Making sure that we're taking out the
blank card.
Okay,
37.
Yes.
Okay.
But
I just go for the humility, yeah. So, not being hypocrite, basically.
I don't know where this would link in, but I was thinking about how we've got to change the way we deal with them. We can't treat them like they're little ones anymore.
Is knowing when to switch up.
To go from treating them as a, you will do it because I thought so, and I'll prepare it once a day, you know, on a similar level to them.
Alright, Jesus, come in.
Okay.
I need the list.
I think you're right.
It may be a bit difficult to understand because I was scratching out the page.
What is that? On understanding their emotions?
Not understanding emotions, not understanding.
Boundaries,
boundaries.
Humility. Okay, great.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Okay, bring them in.
Are you married?
Okay, now parents, I need you to choose two girls, two men, two women that are going to represent you in our game. So I need two men and two women up here, volunteers, to represent you.
George and John.
Come on forward. Whoever your four are. Two men, two women. All right, who's got the teen list? That's it.
Yeah, I'm more than 5 years.
Which are the top five? Give me a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, where's my parents? Volunteers. I need 2 men, 2 women. Volunteers. Parents.
Come on, Renelia.
Where's my 2 ladies? Okay. Hurry up, girls.
Well done, guys.
Okay, now, listen up. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to see how smart you are knowing each other. All right, so this is our parent representatives. The parents are going to figure out in 3 minutes, and they can ask the other parents why they do this, but this is like Family Feud. So I need you to write what you believe are the top 5 challenges your teenagers have growing up as teenagers today.
So what do they have on their list?
You have to figure out what they have on their list.
Wow.
You have 3 minutes. You can work together as parents. Teens, be quiet. Let's see how they do. Go.
My parents don't understand.
My parents don't trust me.
You got it? Are you good? You feel good about it? All right, grab a seat. Grab a seat, team. All right, parents, let's see how you did.
Good job.
Now, we actually did this in Joburg last week, and we found a very similar thing. The parents think that the biggest challenges teens have is with their parents. The reality is their parents are very low on the priority of the challenges that they feel. Okay?
We're not letting them
out. Yeah. So the parents think, because my parents do not understand me, that we're too strict, and are trusting our parents. So 3 out of the 5 have to do with parents. And then we have peer pressure and purity. Let me read to you the top 5 and we'll see how we did. For the teens, the number 1 challenge is peer pressure.
Okay.
Good job. Number 2 is the challenge with substance abuse.
Wow.
Okay. No, that's not necessarily in order, but these are just the top 5. Number 3 is obeying with mom, obeying parents. So out of the 3, actually, it doesn't say obeying, but we'll say for 3 parent ones, we'll give you 1 for obey mom and dad. Okay? The 4th thing they say is staying spiritual while you're talking with your friends. And number 5 is making life choices. It's one of their great challenges. So, you got 2 out of 5, parents.
Yeah, sure, man.
All right? Good. Good. No, part of what we found really valid about this is, you know, as parents, I think we often think our kids are struggling with things that, you know, are different than what they're actually really struggling with. And the things that they do feel aren't the things we're always talking to them about that they need to be talked to about. Amen? Okay. Teens, I need 4 volunteers. 2 guys, 2 girls. Come on up. Let's see how well you understand your parents. 1, 2, 3. 1 more girl. I need 1 more girl. 1 more girl. Chanel, let's go. Come on. Okay.
And you can get help from your teen friends. But what you need to do is identify what do you think your parents wrote as the top five challenges for parenting you. What are the top five challenges they have in parenting you as teenagers? Go.
Is that the same thing as your pride?
Come on, teens, help them out. Okay, good job. Grab a seat, gang. Okay, so teens, do you think that the parents feel like it's expensive to raise you? It is difficult. Now, what is pride and respect? Does that mean how teens react? They think it's challenging to raise you because you're prideful and not respectful. Okay, but you're not spiritual enough. What does that mean? Oh, great. Just the expectations of school. Okay, let me tell you what your parents said the challenges were to raise you. It's hard to communicate. Okay, so good job. You got that one. Communication is one. Number two, understanding your emotions.
Oh, that's hard to be.
All right. The third one that parents wrestle with is how to set healthy boundaries for you. What are good boundaries and not good boundaries?
It's kind of like school boundaries.
Number four challenge to the parents is their own humility, meaning that they can be honest with you about their own struggles. That's a big challenge for parents. Okay? And number five, effectively using their time to help you. So. That's a good try. So. What it all comes down to is the team's lost. Here's what's really interesting about this, right? Out of five, the parents only got two.
Yeah.
Out of five, the teens only got one, which means, do we really understand each other?
No.
No, we've got to do a much better job communicating and working together as families. That's the whole idea of what we're talking about. Okay, can I have someone pull the paper here? I want to show you an example of what we do not want our families to be like. Okay? Here's a clip from a very, very old Simpsons.
Simpsons? Welcome. So who brings you to family therapy?
Well, Doc, it's like this. Come on,
Oh, boy, Liz.
Go ahead and take one.
You never laugh anymore, Doc.
You can say that again.
But Roy's right.
For once, the old man's correct the ruling.
Shut up!
Why don't we all take a deep cleansing breath?
Put those bits back, boy.
Who are you, little slob? You ruined the whole bowl.
Don't talk to my brother like that, you big old.
Oh, why, you little borderline psychotic?
Who talks to my daughter like that?
Oh, yeah? Now you're gonna bully me like you bully your kids?
We don't like you, sir.
Office, please.
Okay. Who wants to be like the Simpsons? I mean, this is not the family we're trying to be like, right? I think part of the reason people find it funny is there's a lot of truth in this with a lot of families. But it's very, very dysfunctional. You know, it's very interesting when you think about what God calls us to as families. This is our standard. The Bible says that we are to be a light to the world. A city on a hill that cannot be hidden. It says, neither do people put a light out of a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. If we really live the way God calls us to live, we are going to be different from the rest of the world. And we're supposed to be different. One of the greatest challenges that we have as families is we want to be like our neighbors. We want to fit in like our neighbors. And God never intended us to. He says, don't take this light and put it under a bowl. This needs to give light to the rest of the world. Now, how many of you have seen the movie Evan Almighty?
Yeah.
All right? We're going to look at a number of clips from the movie Evan Almighty. Now, this is an interesting family. Evan, the dad, receives this call from God to be very different from the rest of the world around him. He's called by God to build an ark. And by being called by God, it makes him so different that he struggles with how do I fit into this world if I'm called to be different. And we're going to look here at this first clip about how God called Evan to follow him.
I remember creating this valley. Notice how the mountains line up east to west. I thought it'd be lots of sunshine.
Where are we?
Don't recognize it, eh?
No.
This is where you live, son. It's his breast, he's breast. I wanted him to see the original sign.
You're really him, aren't you?
You want more food? I haven't done Philip's soft thing in a while.
That's all right, I believe you. I don't understand why you chose me.
You want to change the world, son. So do I.
What? Why Ark? I mean, that's like flood territory. You wouldn't do that again. You'd do that. Would you do that?
Let's just say that whatever I do, I do because I love you.
Well, then you have to understand that this whole building an ark thing is really not part of my plans here. I need to settle into my house. I need to make a good impression at work. What are you talking about? We're talking about an ark, right? I mean, an ark? An ark is huge. I don't even know where I would begin.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. People want to change the world, don't know how to begin. You want to know how to change the world, son? One act of random kindness at a time.
Build the ark. I'll tell you what. You build it, I'll fill it. And if anybody asks, tell them. Blood's coming. Oh, and you might need this.
Okay, so what do? I got the wood. Canal, that's just cruel.
You see him? Okay, So this is God calling him to do something very, very different. What is it that Evan struggled with? Okay, struggle with believing. Okay, what else?
What people would think of him.
Yeah, what people would think of him. Because he had his own plans. Right? What else?
I was going to say how to fit it into his schedule.
Right, how to fit it into his schedule, because he had a lot going on. Which ties into the second question. What did God find comical?
His plans.
Yeah, his plans. Like, oh, you want to change the world, but this doesn't fit into your plans. And God found that quite comical, because God's the one that has the ultimate plan, right? For our lives. Okay? Yeah.
Faith.
Yeah, he struggled with his faith. Okay? Last question. After calling Evan to obey, what did God promise? He would fill the ark. So all God expects, he says, look, you obey me, and I'll fill in the gaps. You just need to do what I call you to, and I'll take care of the rest, right? Okay, now here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at four passages out of the book of Deuteronomy. So I need everyone to grab their Bibles, and we're going to see something really powerful that goes on here in the book of Deuteronomy. All four of these scriptures have this statement in them, so that it may go well with you. You know, as Christians, we want our lives to go well. We want our families to do well. We want our kids to do well. Kids, we want to do well. And God tells us what it takes if we want our life to go well. If we want to be a light to the world and have success, He gives us these four things in Deuteronomy. We're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I'm going to have volunteers on each of these. So if you have found Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40, and you want to read, could you raise your hand? Okay, right here. What's your name?
Warren.
Warren. Go ahead. You got to read loudly so we can all hear. Verse 40. Yeah.
Keep His decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time.
Okay, so according to this passage, what does God call us to do so that it may go well with us? Yeah, we are to keep His commands. So the idea of obeying God isn't to make life hard. It's not a set of rules to make it difficult for us. God says, look, if you want to have a successful life, obey my commands. Alright, let's look at the second one. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Who's got that one? Let me get a parent. Yes.
Okay. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long, and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you.
Okay, according to this one, what do we need to do so that it may go well with us? Honor your parents. Now this is interesting. Teenagers, I want you to think, when does your life go well? When does it not go well? Well, when you honor your parents, doesn't life go a lot better? And God tells us that if you honor your parents, your life is going to go a lot better. Alright, let's look at another one. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 18. Who's got that one? Go ahead.
Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers.
Okay, now this one, what does he say? What do we need to do for it to go well with us?
Do what is right.
Do what is yeah, right. He says do what is right. Now, how is this different from keep His commands?
Not His commandments.
This one's a little bit more inclusive. Look, God does give us very specific commands, but even beyond the commands, there are things that we know that are just right.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, a lot of the commands don't involve sins of omission, things we should be doing that we're not doing. He says, look, if you do what is right and good, it will go well with you. Let's look at one more. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 16. One more reader. Yes, sir.
He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you.
Okay, now this is a little bit of a different one. What does he say here happens so that it may go well with you?
You must be humble.
Be humble, depend on God.
But he says he'll have to test you to get you.
Yeah, you're going to have to be tested. In other words, things are going to be hard. You must learn how to persevere. Humility and perseverance are necessary qualities for it to go well with us. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, so this is God's call to us. Now, here's the challenge. Have you ever felt in your family like one or two of your family members wanted to do the right thing, but it caused problems with the rest of your family? And a lot of times for the teens, if you are a teenager and you're not yet a disciple, you may feel this tension in your home. Mom and dad feel the call to live this, but you haven't signed up for it yet. And if the whole family's not on the same page spiritually, it creates tension. Let's look at what happened in our next clip when Evan actually decided to accept the call, but the rest of the family wasn't on board yet.
John, I know you probably saw what happened, but I can explain. Okay, take the stuff to the car, guys. I'll be there in a minute. I'm going to take them to my mother's. Evan, I think you need help.
John, please. I'm not doing this.
It's not me, it's him. I went to that meeting in a suit and he took it off of me. Those animals are following me because of him.
God, does God know he's destroying our lives? Does God know he's going to get you fired?
Yeah, he's trying to get me fired.
He is trying to get me fired. That way I'll have more time to work on the ark. Because the rain and the floods are coming. No, I heard you, Evan. The whole world heard you.
John, please, you gotta believe me. There it is! It's happening! It's happening! It's raining!
Okay, what caused all the tension in the family? What caused the problem?
Mm-hmm. Well, he was doing things that are not like considered right in the public eye. So he was doing weird things.
Okay, so according to everyone else, what he was doing looked really strange. Mm-hmm. But in God's world, did it look strange?
No.
Not at all. And when mom and the children weren't looking at things from a spiritual perspective, how did it feel at home? Like he was losing his mind. Now, teenagers, how many times have you thought, growing up, especially in the church, when you compare your parents to what your friends get to do, have you ever thought your parents have lost their minds? I mean, a lot of times we look at mom and dad, they're all saying, yes, I have. But this is a big part of the challenge. As your parents, we are trying to follow God's call to raise you and be light to the world. But we know that that's very different than what your friend's standard is. And a lot of times it can create the same tension. Now, it doesn't maybe mean that you're moving out or walking out. You may have felt like moving out and finding a different home. But you see the tension. You see the problem. All right. Now, on the other side, what got Evan so excited emotionally when he saw the sprinklers? What was going on there?
It was proof now. He felt like now they'll believe him. If they see it, they'll believe it and agree with what he said.
And then what happened when it didn't
see?
I feel like, I think the wind was knocked out of him.
Okay.
He was like, he's got nothing else to say.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times what we hope for, it's very hard to trust God when things don't seem to be going well. Mm-hmm. And our temptation is we look for any little sign that we're right, that it's going to work. And when it doesn't come together the way that we want, we can get discouraged. But he had to stay the course. Remember humility, perseverance? Okay. Now, parents, I want you to think just for a minute. You put yourself in the role of a teenager. All right? And let's go back and let's look at these four things that God has called us to. As a teenager, what are you expected to do from those things?
What is your role? Growing up, you're not a disciple yet, but you still are being taught to follow God and His expectations. What's your role?
To honor our parents, even though sometimes we don't feel like they're really worthy of honor.
Okay.
We want to honor them.
So we haven't yet made the choice spiritually for ourselves, but we're still called to honor our mom and dad, even if we don't understand or agree all the time with their decisions. Okay? Is that challenging? What's challenging about your role as a teenager doing this? Let's talk honestly. I mean, what's really challenging for our kids, if we're honest?
I think when you grow up and become a teenager, you start really having your own wants and your own wills, and you want to do things your way. And I think you're becoming an adult. So you want to try things out. And sometimes you don't understand why parents say that.
It's very good. There's a tension that goes on with teenagers. Because as you're saying, they're growing up and they're becoming adults. Sometimes they want to be an adult. Sometimes they want to act five. That's part of being a teenager. You kind of go back and forth. But what happens is we're growing into our own. We want to be able to make our own decisions, and yet our parents have bound a lifestyle on us. And I'm not saying this is wrong. I'm just saying we got to understand the challenge of our teenagers' face.
Yeah.
We're training them to be disciples, yet they, in some cases, haven't embraced the life of discipleship yet. So there's a challenge there. That's a tension. We've got to be honest about that. Okay, any other observations? Yeah.
I think too, when our parents, we're called to honor them, but we see a disjunction between what they're saying and what they do.
Yeah. Yeah, hypocrisy is one of the hardest things for teens. Now, they're still called to honor us and to obey us.
Yeah.
But it ties in very directly to question number three. Question three says, as a teenager, what would make it easier for you to do these things? So parents, if you're a teenager, what would make this easier for you?
I think if you start moving from this is just the way we do it, to engaging and explaining and having a two-way conversation about it and not just a top-down approach.
Yep.
From the parent side of, well, that's just how it is, but respecting the teen as well, that they have opinions and feelings, and trying to engage in that and
yep.
communicate with them through that.
Yeah, so part of what would help us is that our parents are really helping to teach the heart of this and explain this to us. Okay, parents, anything else you can see? From the teen's perspective, what would make it easier for them?
I believe that for kids and teenagers, it's not so much, they don't really pay attention to what they hear, and more pay attention to what they see. So, if we live out that specific role as a disciple or the role that we would like them to hold,
so our example is absolutely huge. And where our kids get strength to do this is when they see us doing this. For our kids to have the expectation, when they're not even disciples, to try to obey this, when we're not doing it, it puts them in a very impossible situation. Okay?
Yeah.
Anything else? Great observations. All right, now, teens, I'm going to ask you to think about being a parent for a minute. Alright? Now, you're the parent, and you're having to lead your home, and you're a disciple, which means you're trying to uphold these things in your home for your family. Describe your role in doing this. What is that like for you as a parent? What's the pressure you feel? What's that role like?
I think it would be challenging to try to impress these like things in your children about like how to live like a disciple without them actually choosing to live that life.
Okay, so one of the challenges parents have, which is very true, is that we know we're instilling these things in you when you haven't even made the decision yet to be a disciple, but we're doing it to help you someday become a disciple. Okay? What are the challenges for the role of parents, teenagers, if they're trying to do this? What do you see as the challenges that your parents may have?
Actually, communicating with the teenagers is hard because they have work and they have school and they come home, they have to make it at school, so we don't have much communication.
Okay, so there's a lot of life responsibilities, and sometimes being able to properly communicate this can be very challenging. Great. What else? What else is really challenging, teens? Any other insights? I bet your parents could fill in a few blanks. Yeah.
I think for the parents, just to know that we have been there where they are, and they are, and then their time also to get to where you are. I think you can find it really challenging just to show them the steps that they need to take, because maybe you don't want them to take that long time. They might end up somehow.
Yeah, in all reality, remember what this is all about? It's so that it may go well with you. And we've been around the block, okay? As parents, we've made the mistakes. And part of the hardest thing is we know if you do this, your life will be awesome. If you don't, we know what's waiting for you. And part of the greatest challenge as a parent is to actually get you to believe this and live it without making the mistakes that we made. And we know sometimes you just don't want to listen. That's very challenging. Okay, last one. Teens, what do you think would make it easier for your parents to do this?
Well, maybe if I was a parent, maybe like if I explained why we should do it and why it's good for us. Maybe even using real life situations, what happened to us.
Okay.
Like what happened to your parents. So that they know that this is good because you have a better life or something like that.
Okay. Great. What else do you think would make it easier for the parents, teens?
Like you said, just being spiritually on the same page. And like what he said, or someone said, you need to explain why you need to do these things and stuff.
Yeah, as a teen parent, one of the things that would make this that makes this easier for me is when my kids accept, you know what, we're Pachtas, we follow Jesus, our life is going to be different. And I don't expect to be like all my friends. When the teens accept that, boy, doesn't it make life a lot easier. We do have different standards. We're trying to be disciples. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, now, in this video clip, the wife finally comes to an understanding of what's going on spiritually.
Excuse me, can I get a refill, please?
Coming right up. Excuse me. Are you on it?
Yeah. No. It's a long story.
Wow, I'm upset at the bit of a story telling myself.
My husband? The root of New York's Noah?
The guy that built the ark.
That's him.
I love that story. Noah and the ark? You know, a lot of people get fed of the story. They think about God's wrath and anger. They love it when God is angry.
What is the story about them, the ark?
Well, I think it's a love story about believing in each other. You know, they haven't showed up in Paris. They stood by each other, side by side. Just like Noah and his family. Everybody in the ark, side by side.
My husband says God told him to do it. What do you do with that?
Sounds like an opportunity. We ask something. If someone prays with patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? Does he pray for courage? Does God give them courage? Or does he give them opportunity to be courageous? If someone prays for them to be close, do you think God's absent with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does he give them opportunities to learn? I got a lot. A lot of people are scared. Enjoy.
Guess this comes as no surprise.
Okay. What is God trying to get her to see? What's that?
That is not lying.
Okay, that her husband's right. Okay, what else?
I mean, God doesn't give us, like he said, we ask to be patient. We don't wake up the next morning and be patient. puts us in situations so that we can learn to become like that.
That's right. God doesn't fix all our problems for us, does he? He gives us opportunities to step up to the plate, which is the second thing I was going to ask. Does God always fix our challenges for us? No, he just gives us opportunities to fix them. Now, what helped her to change her attitude? The food. Okay? What else?
And then earlier in the movie, the family was praying and she prayed for her family to become closer. And then he was like, if you pray for your family to become closer, he doesn't give you.
So what did she realize? That, whoa, this is God. You see, she had her own personal connection with God, which helped her then understand her husband. Okay, now, if we feel tension in our families because someone's trying to be spiritual and we feel the tension with them, the solution most of the time is getting spiritual ourselves. That puts us back on the same page. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, now, once we do God's will, and this is kind of our the closing clip, when they all come back together and they start doing God's will together as a family. It is very different from what the rest of the world does, but it's fun doing God's will. Here's a fun clip.
Guys,
I'm here. Nice.
He's really old.
Yeah, well, he is really old. How'd you come back?
It was the kids.
Oh, nice. We like you better as the crazy guy. He spends time with us. Yeah, how long more?
Just please don't make us do the dance anymore.
Going through. We got into this as a family. We're going to get out of it as a family. Side by side.
Yeah.
feces, what's being done about the feces? From businessman to congressman to caveman, how makes you so sure God chose you?
He chose all of us.
Okay.
Cool.
Cool, huh? All right. What conclusion did the kids come to when they came back?
They missed the family.
Yeah, it was better to spend time with them than as a crazy guy. And that doesn't matter anymore. But it was the time that they could spend with him.
Now, I want you to think about how powerful this is. The kids had actually said, I would rather spend time with you as the crazy guy than you being gone doing all this stuff to better yourself and your career. And you know, a lot of times, dads especially, we think our careers are so important. We're willing to sacrifice our families to get ahead to provide for our kids when our kids really just want time with you. Okay? How about the mom? How did she, what conviction did she come to and what did she commit to? Okay. Yeah, she said, look, I'll be side by side with you. We started as a family.
Yeah.
We're going to finish this thing as a family. What happened after they decided to trust God and stick together as a family? Where did the kick, what kicked in? Yeah, the help. I mean, isn't that exactly what God said? He says, look, you obey, you stick together, and look at how I'm going to bless you. And look at all the animals that came to help. All right, last question. How did Noah answer the question, what made you so sure that God chose you?
Chose all of us.
Yeah, he says, God chose all of us. The question is, are you willing to obey and be a light to the world? This is where we started, and I want to kind of summarize with this scripture. God calls us to be different than the rest of the world. The only way that we're successful at doing that is if we're all in it together as a family.
Yeah.
If we are, we can actually help change the world. Because people look at us as Christians and they go, wow, there's something you have that we want. And this is what ultimately is going to help us make a difference. But we have to be united as a family, right? So that's the idea of the weekend, is we're going to talk tomorrow morning for the parents about having a real Christian marriage. And we're going to talk about real Christian parenting. And then on Sunday, we're going to talk about how we're going to build a real Christian church. So that in everything we do, we can be a model to the world. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Tomorrow morning, we are, where are we? 9:30 at the high school for all the parents. We'll see you in the morning. Is there anything else?
Yeah, just one last announcement. Obviously, Dave, thanks so much. Maybe just a thanks from us to you. I think it's going to be a great weekend. There are some snacks. Thanks to everyone for bringing them. And I'm sure most of you or many of you know that it is Agnesia's birthday.